Well, good morning. Welcome to Sunday School. Hope you've had a good week. Trusting God for another good week as we journey from week to week. And it's good to be in the Lord's house. Good to see each one of you here today. And it's good to be able to see, period, isn't it? It really is. I mean, we take sometimes our abilities lightly, not seriously, that God's given to us. Even to the point of being able to see. And but it's good to see each one of you here today. And I trust you've had a great week. Overall, it's been a mild week. We have had a little showers. We thank God for that. And but we're thankful for every day that God gives us, because it is a gift. A gift from Him that He allows us to have. So thank you for being in Sunday School. Ephesians again, chapter number 3. Today. Ephesians chapter number 3. I trust and pray that the Lord is helping us all to learn something as we come together on Sunday morning. I don't want it to be a waste of time. I want you to learn something as well as myself. And I trust somehow the Lord has given you something that you can live by and learn, and trust God to give you wisdom and strength from it every day. It's an amazing thing about the Word of God. We know it's quick and sharp. Quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's there for our good. You know, it's to motivate us, edify us, and give us what we stand in need of every day. I don't know about you, but I need strength every day from God. And my strength comes from the Word of God. If I don't read my Bible, sometimes I feel like I'm weak. And I am. Spiritually, I'm weak. But I need my Bible every day. And I want to hide it in my heart and take a few verses every day and just meditate upon them. And ask God to give me what I need that day, because He knows what I'm going to face. And I'm glad to know that. Ephesians chapter 3 again today, where we are. Last week we talked about our country a little bit, but today we're going to get back into Ephesians. Ephesians is a wonderful book, a passage of Scripture. Of course, you know Paul was writing this in prison. We know he's talking about the Christian's position in chapters 1, 2, and 3. First of all, as Christians individually, our position. And then also now in chapter 3, we're talking about together, collectively, our position as Christians and how we're to live. We know that the theme of Ephesians is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as His body, the church here on this earth. We know Christ today is in heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. But yet we also know that even though He's there, He did not leave us and forget us. He identifies us. He identifies us as Christians with the church. And He considers it by filling it with His presence day by day and day, week after week. So we're glad today to know that the Word of God is quick, is real. And we're thankful for this passage of Scripture. We've been talking about the eternal purpose of God for you as a Christian believer. What's God's eternal purpose for us as Christians today? God has a plan for everything He does. God doesn't do anything just haphazardly. He does His plans everything. And He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me in our life. And we've been talking about this eternal plan that God has for us as His children. Again, chapter 1, we talked about the church as a body. Chapter 2, as a temple. And now in chapter 3, we're talking about the church is likened to a mystery. A mystery. That's something that is hidden. Something that God Himself reveals for us. Again, to encourage us and to help us as we go along. We see, as we read chapter 3, week before last, and we talked briefly about it, we talked about Paul's explaining his ministry. In other words, he gave us an idea of what God had done for him, how God wanted to use him now, since God saved him on the road to Damascus. And we find that God wanted to use him to present the gospel to the Gentiles, and to the whole world, of course, but primarily to the Gentiles. So we find here, this is what it's all, this is about here in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, the great mystery that Paul is talking about in this chapter, the great mystery, the truth that is hidden, been hidden from all the Old Testament saints, but was revealed to Paul and to the apostles here during this time. And we find here in this chapter what it's all about. The great mystery we find in verses 1 through 13 of chapter number 3 of Ephesians, talking about a new body of people, a new body of people. The purpose of God for you and I as a Christian, our purpose on this earth involves more than life just on this earth. I mean, there's much more to the life of a Christian than that. We see that God has a plan, it's an eternal plan for us as believers. We know in the world today, there are many divisions, aren't there? I mean, divisions. I mean, it's husband and wife, it's children and parents. I mean, you know, it's employee, employers. I mean, it's students and teachers. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. There's just divisions all over the world today when it comes to people. Well, now, we see here how God himself has dealt with divisions, how he's trying to deal with divisions. He's trying to bring a new body of people together, a new body of people through his Son, Jesus Christ, that will love him supremely, and not only love him, but also grow up in him and learn something about him. Now, this is how God deals with divisions. He tries to bring people together. I'm glad that God's that way. I'm sure all of us have people that we know that are that try to bring people together when there is a problem. And I admire people that have that ability, that discernment in their life. But we see here that this is what God does for us. So we see God's purpose is to make a new body of people on earth who will love him supremely. We see that in the first 12 verses of chapter 3. In the last verses of chapter 3, we see his purpose is to make believers into a mature person. A mature person. To grow up and to realize things are going to happen in life and how to face things when you have to face them in life. So we find this is where we are today. So we're going to stop and have prayer. Then we're going to open up with verse 1 of chapter 3 in Ephesians and begin studying. Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to be in your house. I'm thankful for everyone that's here. Lord, please be with those that are sick today, those that may be traveling. Lord, where they are, I pray you would help them, Lord, to be able to be back maybe next week. Truly, Lord, we miss those that are out in our class and, Lord, in our church. Every week they're not here. But Lord, we just ask you now to bless these that are here. Oh, God, I pray somehow, Lord, this time will not be boring to them. Lord, that we might learn together from the Word of God. Lord, your plan and your purpose for us as Christians today. So, Father, bless now your Word as we read it. God, give us that we stand in need of. And God, again, just help us to be what we ought to be for you until Jesus comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter number 3. First of all, we're talking about the great mystery here of Paul. We find in verses 1 and 2, we find that Paul gives his purpose for existing. Paul has a purpose for living. And it wasn't until he met Christ on the road to Damascus that he had a purpose. And I can stand before you today and I can say I didn't have much purpose in living until I met the Savior, until he saved me. I was here living, yes. I was doing my own thing. But I didn't know what love was. I didn't know who Jesus was, really. I heard about him. But I didn't have much purpose in my life until I got saved. And same thing happened to Paul here. Now, let's look first of all in this great mystery as it describes Paul's purpose for existing. Look at verse 1 and 2. He says, For this cause, and he's talking about an opportunity here to present the gospel. For this cause. In other words, for me now to be able to present the gospel, I want you to understand something. He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Paul says God has enable me the opportunity to present the gospel to you Gentiles, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a prisoner. Now notice he said, Paul was going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what it cost him. No matter, listen, Paul's in prison. He's still going to serve the Lord. I wonder if I would try to serve the Lord if I was in prison. I wonder if you would. Paul says, it may cost me prison, imprisonment, but I'm going to still serve the Lord no matter what I do. We have a student in our college here that's in, he's in prison. He's already got an associate, I know. He's working on his bachelor now. But it's an amazing thing to me. This young guy is in prison, but he's still serving the Lord. He's still doing something for the Lord. No doubt, he's probably a great witness to those guys that are in prison with him because of him studying, and he's trying to learn the Bible. You know, he's not just giving up. I'm in prison and life's over with. You know what I'm saying? But he's still got something now to live for. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given into his heart and in his soul a reason to live. That is to learn more about God through his word and studying the word of God. See? And that should be our desire in our life every day. You know, you may be kind of like in prison at work. I mean, as far as having to go back and forth. You're bonded, bound by work. You know, we all are to do things in life. But yet, don't let that keep us from still serving the Lord and trying to live for the Lord. So Paul says, my desire is to serve Christ no matter what it was. He was a prisoner again now in Rome. And because he was enslaved to Christ, he wanted to serve him. Christ, he wanted to serve the Lord, and he was doing everything he could to do that. Excuse me. Look at verse number 2. Not only was Paul was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in verse 2 he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word. Paul also is a steward. He's a steward of God. God had given him the responsibility, the duty, if you please, to oversee and to administer the grace of God to Gentiles. My, what an awesome responsibility he has here. What a big job he has given him to do. God has allowed Paul now to do this. Remember I said a couple weeks ago, though, what God calls men to do, he equips them for, and he gives them the power to do it. Whatever God wants people to do, that's the way God works. And we see that here in the life of Paul during this time, you see. But Paul was to serve Christ no matter what the cost. He's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. He is a steward of God. He was given the duty to oversee and again to administer the grace of God to the Gentile people at this time. What was a tremendous responsibility was laid upon Paul is also laid upon the ministers of Christ today. It's a big responsibility. When someone is called to preach the Word of God, ministers are literally a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We give our lives for Him because He gave His life for us. Therefore, it's our responsibility. We are a steward of God's grace as ministers today. As we teach and we preach the Word of God, we are slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bond that. Now, notice also, not only do we see that Paul was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a steward of getting the gospel to people, the Jews, the Gentiles primarily, but we also see in verse number 3 through 5 something else about this mystery of Christ. Look at verse number 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, that is, God made known to Paul the mystery, whereby... as I wrote afore in few words, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He's talking about the mystery of Christ. The mystery, again, something that's hidden. Something that declares, something that requires, I should say, a special revelation to be made known. And God gave that revelation to Paul of what the mystery was. We're going to talk about that mystery more specifically in just a minute. Now, mystery is a truth. It's a hidden truth, okay, in the Word of God that has to be revealed by God for man to know it. Man can't know it apart from God's revelation. Remember how Daniel interpreted dreams? I mean, he had a special gift from God. You know, that he was able to interpret dreams. Well, God gave Paul a special revelation of the task that was set him before him, and he considers it a hidden mystery, a mystery, a truth that was not known before the Old Testament saints or the prophets or the priests in this time, apostles and the prophets at this time. The spiritual world that you and I know today, the spiritual world and the mystery of Christ itself would have remained a mystery if God had not acted and given the revelation to Paul. If he had not done it, we would not know it today. So we see the mystery is very, very important. Now, what is this mystery? Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5 tells us, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So we see the mystery was after the apostles. In other words, they didn't know anything about it. But look at verse number 6, and we see what the mystery is. This is the mystery, that the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. We see the mystery is threefold. There's three things about the mystery of Christ here as we see it. First of all, the Gentiles are fellow heirs of God with the Jews. With the Jews. We see when since Christ came, the Gentiles, believers, and all people of the earth no longer have to approach God through any other person but Jesus Christ. That's all. The worldwide now can approach God through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is amazing revelation that's given to Paul. And we find here, sisters, there are no more barriers to prevent anyone from coming to God and being adopted into God's family. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be a Gentile. Jews and Gentiles, all, no matter what nationality now, can become a Christian by trusting Christ as their personal Savior. See, so we see here, the mystery is the Gentiles are also fellow heirs of God with the Jews. Back in chapter 1 of Ephesians, and verse number 11, the Bible says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This is God's will. His own will, see. God's will is for everybody to be saved. Now, turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you will, please. The Jews and the Gentiles, all can be saved. Red, yellow, black, and white, it doesn't matter. Those that come to Christ and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the who? Children of God. Look at verse 17. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of who? God. And joint heirs with who? Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified, how? Together. Together. See, God is bringing people together. He's bringing people together. He's trying to unite a new body of people that will love him and that will serve him and serve him. And he's going to do it through Paul. He's trying, setting up things here now to do it through Paul. So we see, first of all, the first thing about this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs now of God with also the Jews. All are able to become children of God. Now, the second thing in this mystery, in the second part of verse number 6, says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and notice, of the same what? Body. Of the same body. God's people are one big family. One big family. Now, we see here the Gentiles are of the same body with the Jews. Look in chapter 1, look at verse 22 and 23. Remember, chapter 2 talks about the body, believers, the body of believers. Well, in chapter 1, verse number 22 and verse 23, Paul says this, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the what? The church, notice, which is his what? Body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That filleth all in all. God now allows all men to approach him through Jesus Christ. All men can approach God one way. That's through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. God now is creating a body of people from all nations of people. All nations of people. He's trying to create a big family. A big family. Bringing people together. Bringing people together. You know, it's an amazing thing to me how you can go somewhere, out of town, out of state, wherever you want to go. And God will somehow, miraculously, put you in the position to confront another Christian. He'll do it. And it's amazing how there is, whenever you approach somebody, that you find out they're Christian, how you're just bonded. You're just bonded. It's like a brother and sister. You know? That's what God is doing. And this is a mystery. This is something the world does not understand. How people can love one another. Well, it's only because of Christ in us. Amen. That's the only way we can love one another. Because we all have so many different ways and likes and dislikes. But when God's in us, by His Spirit, we can love one another. He brings us together. He brings us together. Believers now form the body of Christ. The body of Christ is literally a living organism. It's not dead. It's a living organism. And how is that? It's by the Spirit of God that indwells us. That's why remember, Paul says, we've been quickened. We've been quickened. We've been made alive. Paul says that in Ephesians. And we find here, because of the Spirit of God, He energizes us and He empowers us as believers. Energizes us and empowers us. I'm thankful today for the Spirit of God that indwells us. I think about Jeremiah, like sometimes us. He wanted to quit. But you know, the Bible says he couldn't. You know why? Because of the burning in his soul for the Word of God. There's something about this book right here. When you read it, it does something to us. It motivates us. It drives us. It burns within us. I want to know more and I want to share more when we read this book. I'm thankful tonight, today, for the Word of God that we have. But the Holy Spirit of God indwells us as believers today. And we find that as Gentiles, we're the same body with the Jews. We're the same body with the Jews. And the body is a living organism. We also see the Spirit of God creates a spiritual union by molding us as Christians. He creates a union within us. It's the Spirit of God that does that. It's nothing that we can do in this flesh, because in the hearts of believers and other believers that we come in contact with. I'm so glad for other people in the world that are Christians and take a stand also for the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see that the Holy Spirit attacks the life of one believer. He attacks us one to another. In other words, He brings us together in a bond there. Believers become one in life and in purpose. One in life and one in purpose. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the purpose is to glorify Him. And to tell others about Him. Getting the gospel out to all mankind, you see. So we find here, this is the mystery. We are heirs, joint heirs with the Lord, with all the Jews, with the same body with the Jews. And then we find also in the last part of verse number 6, look at it, it says, and partakers of his what? Promise in Christ by the what? By the gospel. We're partakers of his promise. Partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, what is he talking about here? The promise. The Gentiles receive the same promise of Christ as the Jews do. Everybody receives the same promise of Christ as one another does. Now, what is that promise? The promise in Christ has to do with the privilege, the glorious privilege of being saved and living with God one day in heaven. That's the promise. That's the promise. There's not a person today in this world that could not partake of that promise. Not one person. All men can be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's because God has made it available. God has made it available. I'm so glad that whosoever will can come. I'm so glad that it doesn't matter who we are or what we are, what we rank in life, God can still and will save whosoever will call upon Him. I'm glad for that today. So the Gentiles received the same promise of Christ as the Jews did. The Gentiles are the same body with the Jews, and the Gentiles we see also now are fellow heirs of God with the Jews. This is the mystery. We all have the privilege of being a child of God. A child of God. I pray that God will remind me and remind you, no matter where I'm at, the grocery store, the gas station, wherever I'm at, the people that I see, they have an opportunity also become a Christian. And I pray God will help me to somehow give a tract or give a word of encouragement or do something to try to help these people see they too can know Christ as Savior. It's for everybody. Salvation is for everybody. If you're here today and you've never been saved, salvation is for you. It's for you. God has made it available for everybody. He's brought it down to the level that everybody can understand it. Everybody can understand the fact that Jesus died for you and died for me. Now notice Paul here. He's been given this revelation of this mystery of presenting the gospel to everybody now. And everybody can be saved. Everybody can be heirs of Christ. Everybody can be in the same body. And everybody can receive the same promise of being saved now and being with God forever. But notice now also, look in verses number 7 through 9. Verse number 7, we see here the minister of God, Paul, how he is affected, how he's been affected because of this opportunity, because of this responsibility that God has put upon him. Notice Paul in verse number 7. He says, wherefore I was made a what? I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. You know, God, in His own way, got Saul's attention, didn't He? I mean, God knew how to work in the life of Saul and to get him to come to grips that God wanted to use him to be a minister, to be a minister. We see here, Paul's greatest glory was God's call and God's work. God's call and God's work in his life. We see here, Paul saw, if you please, the respect of being a minister, being chosen by God. He respected this position as a minister. He was privileged, yes he was, but he respected the call of God on his life. And he knew that God had called him to do this job. So we see, first of all, Paul was affected by becoming a minister. He became a minister. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you look back at Saul and what he was doing before he got saved, how he was persecuting and trying to kill Christians and all that he was doing, you look at his life. then, and you look at it in this content, and you'll find it had to be the work of God to change him and to make him what he is today in this passage of Scripture. See, only God, listen, only God can change people. God can change people, you know, and it's through the Word of God. And we find this in Paul's life. He was a different man now. He was a minister. God had called him, and no doubt Paul wrestled with this thing. You know, like all people that are called of God, they wrestle with it because it's such a big endeavor. It's a big responsibility, you know, for people to do this. And we see here Paul was doing this. So we find here that it caused Paul to become a minister. And also, look in verse number 18. Not only was he a minister, but verse number 18 in chapter 3, not 18, chapter 8, verse 8, I'm sorry, verse 8, I'll get it right in a minute. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should what? Preach among the Gentiles what? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Not only was Paul now changed to be a minister, but also a preacher. One to proclaim the truths. Preach the word of God to people. And you look at all the missionary trips, the trips he took throughout the world in his day, and he went about preaching, 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 preaching. What? The gospel. And that's why he's in prison, for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he considers it, you know, a big responsibility, but yet a blessing to be able to do this. So we see that because he got saved, because Paul got saved, first of all, he became a minister. Secondly, he became a preacher of the gospel. And we see in verse number 9, something else, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. He became an evangelist. He traveled worldwide to preach the gospel to mankind, that they may come to know Christ as Savior, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ, by Jesus Christ. So we see salvation, Paul's salvation. Because of him getting saved, he became a minister, he became a preacher, he became an evangelist. He became all three because of this. Paul, the minister, the man that was definitely changed, made a big effect in him when he got saved. You know, I don't know how much change it was in your life when you got saved. I don't think you can determine whether a person has been saved or not by the change in their life, primarily. But I do believe this, because of my own experience. When God saves somebody, they're going to be different. They're going to be different. They're going to at least think different. They're going to act somewhat different. Because you can't be the same when God moves in. I mean, it's impossible. How in the world can you stay the same when God moves into you? You can't do it. I mean, God's so big, God's so powerful, and God's so almighty, that he's going to do something to change us when we become a child of God. And I'm glad to know that Paul, Saul at this time, when he became, God became a Christian and became Saul, became Paul, he changed dramatically. His life completely changed. Now notice also, not only did this mystery affect Paul in a dramatic way, but this mystery now that is opened up to the whole world, how the whole world can be saved. I want you to notice also how it has affected heavenly beings. People, heavenly beings. It affected them also. It affects them today also. We see it causes them to stand in amazement today. Heavenly beings stand in amazement at this fact of this gospel being now available to the whole world. Notice, heavenly beings stand amazed in this fact, verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. We find here that heavenly beings stand amazed at what God is doing in the church today. You know that? They're amazed at what God is doing in the church and through the church today. We see here God is showing His love. He's showing His wisdom to the whole world. And all creation in heaven is standing amazed at what He's doing. How in the world can you love those creatures on the earth? Probably some of those are thinking. I don't know. And that baffles my mind too, how God can love us. But He does. So all heaven stands amazed today. All heavenly beings stand amazed at what God is doing in the church. The church is what? Preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel to everybody. Trying to share the good news that people might come to know Christ as personal Savior. And all heavenly beings are standing amazed at that. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? They were amazed. They're amazed. They're also amazed. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11, they're amazed at God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 11. It tells us what this is. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is that eternal purpose? To make known, to show the riches of His grace to us. The exceeding riches of His grace manifested to us, towards us, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. We find that this is God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus, that you and I might experience the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. Thank God today for His grace. Thank God today for His grace. Also, in closing here, we also see that all heavenly beings stand amazed that the believers now have access to God's very presence. We as believers today have access to God's very presence. That's an amazing thing, folks. That's an amazing thing. How you and I can approach the very throne of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What an opportunity we have to approach God. It is granted to us by faith. It's granted to us by faith. And we see that it is the Holy Spirit who keeps us in the very presence of God. Holy Spirit that lives within us keeps us in the very presence of God. He gives us a permanent access into God's presence. The Holy Spirit also works in us and stirs us to move more and more into God's presence. That's when you read the Bible, when you pray, the Holy Spirit begins to stir us to want to read the Bible more and to pray more. See, it's the Holy Spirit that stirs us more and more and more to get into the very presence of God. Allow His Spirit to direct us. He teaches us to live in God's presence. The Holy Spirit does. We also see that He bears witness that we are children of God. The Spirit of God that lives within me bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And that you are a child of God. What are we saying today? We're saying today in this passage of Scripture that Paul himself was willing to suffer for the church. Whatever it took, he was willing to suffer. Even being in prison, he was willing to suffer. Any suffering is worth the reward, folks. Any suffering that we may do in this life is worth the reward of bringing people to Christ. It's worth the reward. Never faint in suffering, Paul says. He says that never faint in seeing another Christian suffer either. Never faint. Be strong. Be strong, he's saying. It is all worth the price that we all called to bear. Paul says, God's revealed this to me. This is my job. This is my task. Folks, we all have a job. We all have a task to do as a Christian. It's not just sit and wait for God to come and take me home. Okay? But we need to be busy. We need to be busy sharing the gospel with people. No matter where we go. No matter where we go. So God's eternal purpose is to make one new body of people on the earth who will love Him and also love one another. Love one another. And that's what he's starting here with Paul. He's starting it. And may the Lord help us to continue that by God's grace and God's help in our lives today. Let's pray. Father, Thank you today for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God that you revealed to us your plan and your purpose for us as well as others that you've called in the Scriptures, especially Paul. Father, I thank you for him. I thank you, Lord, for calling him and, Lord, giving him that job that you, through him, done tremendously to enable us as Gentiles also to be saved. Father, the world today needs to hear the gospel. God, help us, Lord, these last days to be occupying, doing that very thing until Jesus comes. Bless now our pastor, God, as he stands to preach the Word of God. I pray you give him power, Lord, to preach, thus saith the Lord. Bless the specials today. Lord, may everything that's done here today bring honor to you. And dear God, if there's one in our midst that's lost, Spirit of God, I pray you would draw them to you today before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.